Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Collecting ourselves for this worship, let us pray together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Job. The Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and its thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So this is not a typical custom of St. Thaddeus Eucharist, but since we're all together, this is our children's portion, our children's homily or godly play. And so I would like to invite any children who would like to come up, knowing full well there might not be any children who want to come forward at this time. It's a weird thing to come up at church. It's like this guy up there who's dressed in the weird clothing is asking me to come forward and be up front in front of everybody. Does anybody want to do that? Okay. Well, I'm going to check with John and see where I'm in camera. Am I in camera right here? Okay, great. So we got folks at home, and we might have... Millie Kate, do you want to come up? You're so good. And Giada... We've got a couple. Eden's coming. Bubbles is staying in the pew. Bubbles has become a regular at St. Albans St. Thaddeus Church. We've known him since Easter. Her since Easter. Yeah. Okay. All right. So today, in addition to being proper six, or the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, which are all weird things to say, does anybody know what that means? What does proper six mean? Does that mean we have to be proper to the sixth degree today? Is that what that means? What would that mean? Maybe we can get at this Sunday by talking about it as Father's Day. For me, the coolest thing about Father's Day today, the first Father's Day I've ever experienced as a father, is my socks. And let me tell you why. I've got a present. And my socks have Simon's face on them. That was a Father's Day present from Casey. And they say, I love Dad. Yeah. So it's Father's Day. And I think last month we had Mother's Day. Is that right? Does that sound right? Does that sound correct? So maybe we can talk about both those days as Family Day. And what, when we get together as church, what we're celebrating when we talk about, like, our mothers and our fathers. So I wonder, what is the most important thing about having a mother or a father? I wonder. And maybe you all could have an answer for that. Maybe somebody out there has an answer about what is the most important thing about having a mother or a father. I wonder. I'm thinking about this a lot because I don't want to mess it up with Simon. And so I'm wondering, what is the most important thing about being a mother or father? Really, Kate, you have any thoughts? You don't have to. Eden's got the assist. Millie Kate says, Eden, you should say that. That's your idea. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Being cared for and loved. I mean, yes, exactly. That's exactly it, I think. Yes. So, in the Bible, we have this story. And I brought part of the story with me. This is Joseph. I'm going to hand him to you. Now, Joseph is part of the Holy Family, and Joseph has a little hole in his hand. I think a staff used to be there or something. He's like, I want to be holding something, but nothing's there. Maybe he needs a candle. Something needs to go right there. Yeah. He's got a big beard. So Joseph was a different kind of dad. We know from the Bible that Joseph had some children with Mary, because Jesus has siblings, has brothers and sisters. But we also know that an angel came to Joseph and said, hey, Mary's going to have a baby. You didn't have anything to do with that. You're going to have to choose to love this family. And Joseph made that choice. So Joseph is a father in two ways. He made a choice, what did you say, loving and care, to love and care for that family. So when we talk about Father's Day and we celebrate it, we also remember that for some people, Mother's Day and Father's Day is a complicated day. That this kind of relationship between children and parents, it comes in different shapes and sizes and forms and situations and ideas and that sort of thing, right? So we celebrate that. Okay, who else do we have in here? Oh, man. This is the cow. Important part of the family day. In the story of the Holy Family, when the cow came down for her breakfast that morning, instead of finding her breakfast in the manger, in the little trough, there was a baby there, which is kind of strange for the origins of the Holy Family. Who else we got? I'm just pulling these out randomly. I don't even know. Oh, this is a wise man or wise person, or as Crimson at St. Albans like to say, it could be a wise lady. That's right. I'm going to let you hold this one. They showed up with presents to the Holy Family. So families have people who support them from outside of the family. That's important. And we celebrate those people on the days when we celebrate Mothers and Fathers Day too. Because mothers and fathers can't do it alone. They need people to support them. Oh, this is the Mother Mary. Who wants? Oh, yes. Like Kate will hold the Mother Mary. The Mother Mary, she was super courageous. Super courageous. Because, again, an angel visited her and said, there's going to be this strange thing that happens to you, and nobody is going to really understand it, and you are going to have to understand it and love this child. And that's maybe how all mothers find their children. Here's this thing that comes along that we really don't understand, that we have to figure out how to love. Right? I don't understand Simon. He's a weirdo. Oh, no. Simon, your brother, is perfectly normal. I'm talking about my son. Sometimes he cries, and we're not sure why. And Casey says, you changed his diaper. And I said, oh, I thought you changed his diaper. And finds out, nobody changed his diaper. Casey's not happy that I just told you that story. All right, so here we got, there's one more in here too. I want to get all of them. Oh, this is the donkey. And the donkey goes with the Mother Mary. So maybe this one should go here. And this one should go here. And the reason that there's a donkey is because when Jesus was born, Mary had to make this choice to go from her hometown up north, down south. And she had to ride a donkey. And I'm told that it was a big journey. And I'm told that when you're pregnant, it's hard to walk. And so she got on a donkey. I'm also told that when you're pregnant, it's hard to ride a donkey. And so she would get down and walk too. So that's what the Mother Mary did. I wonder what kind of, you know, I know of one. I don't even have to wonder about this. Tracy Pullman spent days in the hot wilderness this week as a mom. Saved a waterfowl from death. This is not a made-up story. This happened. This is what motherhood's all about. I don't know if I would save a waterfowl for Simon. I commend you. That was a harrowing and wonderful story on Facebook there. All right, so the last person I want to talk to in this family is the baby Jesus. And do you notice how his arms are out like this? What does that remind you of? Sex. Yeah, Millie Kate, you're right. If everybody turns around, Jesus up here on the banner, people can't see, but that's exactly right. Jesus' arms are outstretched. What else does it remind anybody else? Anything of Jesus' arm outstretched like this? Praising on the cross. We do orons for the Eucharist, the orons position. Jesus' arms are always like this because Jesus is trying to hug everybody, trying to embrace the whole world in an act of care and love. Jesus couldn't do that if it weren't for the love of his father and mother. So why don't we turn to the congregation, all of us, and we say, Happy Father's and Mother's Day. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy Father and Mother's Day. All right, thanks. We all put those back in here.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As we work together with Christ, we urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, come upon us, 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 And Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Then they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So in today's gospel, just to give it some context, first of all, we're in the Gospel of Mark, which Father Robert tries to convince us is the best gospel of all. Could be. But in today's reading, we have Jesus. Jesus is kind of like a rock star right now in this part of Mark's gospel because he's been really active. He's been teaching. He's been preaching. He's been casting out demons. He's been healing. He's been feeding. And so in the process of doing this, as he's walked along, he's collected a lot of followers. A lot of people are there with him. And all day he's been teaching and preaching to the crowds. And it's a large crowd. They're up on a hill and he's sort of at the bottom. And it comes time for him to go to the other side. And so he says to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And so he gets in the boat and there are some other boats with him. And Mark tells us he gets in the boat just as he is. And he is so tired, he's so exhausted, he's so pooped, he's so worn out that he goes to the back of the boat, lays down, and just crashes. He goes to sleep. And so they set sail for the other side of the lake, large lake, and a storm comes up, and it's a rough storm. The waves are crashing in, the wind is blowing, and the disciples in this boat are terrified, certain that they're going to perish. And so they wake Jesus up, and Jesus says, "Peace, be still," and the storm abates. The wind ceases, the waves stop, and he looks at the disciples and says, "Still, you have no faith? Come on, guys." And so one of the things that we can do is we can kind of relate to the disciples, right? Because in my mind, not Jesus' mind, in my mind, Jesus, who is like really tactful with these folks, if it were me, I'd be thinking, "Come on, dummies, you've been with me for a long time already." But he doesn't say that. He says, "Have you still no faith?" And then they were filled with great awe. And they start talking to each other, "Wow, who is this guy? You know, the one we've been with for all this time now." So that's the context of today's story. And one of the things that I'm reminded of when I read this story, other than the fact that, well, it doesn't remind me that it's Father's Day reading this story, but it does happen to be Father's Day, and Father Robert's already spoken to that a bit. But when I think about this story, and when I think about the fact that it's Father's Day, I think about a time that I was with my father. So a few weeks ago, I told you about a time I was with some of my friends after high school graduation. We were in a little 12-foot aluminum fishing boat with a 10-horse outboard motor, right? A Johnson outboard motor. We went down the river. Well, when I was much younger, my father liked to go fishing on Saturdays, and we lived at this particular time, we lived in Blount County, and he liked to fish in Norris Lake. And I don't know, I was thinking about maybe Googling to see what the distance was between where we lived and Norris Lake. We're talking 60-something years ago, so there was no interstate or anything, it was all two-lane highway. So as I remember, we would get up like in the middle of the night, and I'd crawl in the back seat and go to sleep, and when I woke up, the sun was just barely, I don't even think the sun was up, but it was right before sun up, so it wasn't completely dark. My father would haul the motor down to the boat, which was at the dock, and our fishing gear and so on, and we'd get in and we'd go out to someplace in the lake, like in the middle of the lake. I don't know, there was a lot of water, and I was pretty young. And we were out there one Saturday, and all of a sudden a storm came up, and we're in this aluminum fishing boat, right? And the wind starts blowing, and the waves start coming up a little bit, and it's lightning, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. This is so much fun. My father, on the other hand, was going, well, I won't tell you all that he said, but the gist of it was, we need to get to shore. And so he fired up the outboard motor and we started going back to the dock. And you have to know that the outboard motor that we had then wasn't that amazingly powerful 10 horsepower Johnson. It was a 3.2 horsepower Johnson. And so we are puttering back. I don't know how long it took, but I was thinking, this storm is really cool. And my father's having like really other thoughts. So we finally got back. The next week is when he bought the 10 horsepower motor, you know, something with lots and lots and lots of power. I don't remember that we caught any fish that day. I just remember it was a pretty awesome, pretty amazing, pretty cool storm. I can still kind of in my mind's eye see the lightning flashing and so on. And so one of the things, I believe it was last week, Father Robert gave me a challenge. And he said, maybe Bill will talk about when God shows up in your life. And so I'm thinking about being on the lake and on a metal fishing boat with lightning all around us. And it occurs to me that I need to sort of reframe that question. It's not so much when does God show up. It's sort of like, when is God not with us? When is God not with us? So when we think, at least when I think about God and I think about creation, one question that comes up for me is, why in the world did God create us? I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but I have a tendency to think about, I don't know, sort of odd questions sometimes. Why did God create us? And the only reasonable answer for that is God created us because He wanted to. He wanted us. He created us so that he could love us, and hopefully so that we could love Him. And we can think about the gifts of God, and I do that. I think about the gifts of God frequently. Yesterday, I was going to drive to St. Albans just to kind of sit in quiet and sort of think about what I was going to preach about today. And just before I got there, the tire pressure light came on, and I'm looking at it while I'm driving, and then all of a sudden I start hearing this little roaring noise, and then I realize, whoa, I've got a flat tire. So I pulled into the parking lot at St. Albans, where my truck still is, by the way, on a jack with three wheels. And so I've got a Toyota Tacoma, and it's well equipped. It's got a nice tool set and everything, and I know how to change a tire. So I pulled in there, and I got the jack out, and I got the thing that you got to crank the jack up with out and everything, and I crawled under, and I put the jack where it's supposed to go, and I cranked it up, and then I got my tire wrench out, and the tire wrench didn't work. It's a Toyota. the tire wrench didn't work. It kept popping off the bolts. But there was somebody else in the parking lot, one of the vendors, in fact. He came over and said, "You need some help?" And I'm like, "Well, kind of need a tire wrench." And he happened to have one. And we were able to pop those things off. Well, I say pop them off. We had to lean into them, and we sweated a lot and grunted a lot and had a conversation with each one. But we got them off. And then to get the spare tire on a Toyota Tacoma, the spare tire is held up in a little pulley-like arrangement, and it's a full-size tire, and so you crank it down, right? Well, my crank was kind of rusted, apparently, so it didn't crank. So I can go on and on. You know, this is the flat tire story. I don't want to bore you with all the details. My truck is still in the parking lot over there. The flat tire's in the bed of the truck. The spare is still hanging up where it's supposed to be because it wouldn't come down. So for my Father's Day, I'm going to fix a flat tire, I think. But the gift from God was the fact that there was somebody there. One of the gifts was there was somebody there who was willing to help me. Somebody was there who was not only willing to help me, but he had a tool that I needed. Another gift was my wife was at home. She was willing to come and get me. I have her car out in the parking lot right now. All these gifts, some big, some little. I like to go hiking, not to, you know, once or twice a week. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have a flat tire in the middle of nowhere. I had a flat tire where I could do something about it. All these things, they don't seem like a whole lot, but each one of these, they add up. These are gifts from God. And so what is a gift? This is sort of the crux of the sermon. Although I've talked about boats and tires, this is the crux of the sermon. What is a gift? Most of you know that in another aspect of my life, I'm a pediatric psychologist, and so one of the things that I do is I wind up not only working with kids, but you know, it's sort of impossible to work with kids without working with parents. And so one of the things, one of the issues, one of the questions, one of the topics that comes up frequently is, gosh, what exactly is a gift? And so I'm going to tell you what a gift is, because definitions can be very, very important. A gift is something that is freely given with no conditions or strings attached. That's a gift. So for example, if when my children were younger, if I were to give to one of my children like a $20 bill, and I'd say, so here's a $20 bill, it's a gift, but this is what I want you to do with it, then it's not really a gift, is it? Because I'm putting conditions on it. So if it's really a gift, if I give this $20 bill to one of my children and I say, this is a gift, and I really mean it, this really is a gift, then what my child could do, because it would then be my child's, right? My child could spend it, my child could invest it, my child could save it, my child could spend a little bit of it, my child could go find somebody who's hungry and buy them a meal. But my child could also tear it into shreds or burn it, flush it down the commode, because it's not mine now, it's my child's. And that's the way gifts work. Now, my children never did stuff like that because I would have probably croaked and forgotten the whole definition of a gift. But nonetheless, that's what a gift is. So when we think about where is God, we think about the gifts from God, we think about, gosh, why did God create us in the first place? We think about the definition of a gift. God gives us so many gifts. Each one of you has the gift of life. And I know that because I'm looking at you and you're all like upright and breathing. He gives us the gift of health. That varies apparently from person to person, but he gives us that gift. Gives us the gift of intellect. Gives us the gift of conscience, morality. I can go on and on, but I think you kind of get the idea. He gives us all these gifts. And these are gifts that are freely given. He doesn't give us the gift and say, okay, I'm giving you this gift, so you got to give 10% of it back to me. That wouldn't be a gift. Today is Father's Day. I have three children. I have received gifts from my children. Not because I said, okay, so look, I'm your dad. This is Father's Day. You're obligated to give me a gift. Didn't say that. But I got gifts, little gifts, important to me gifts. So when we think about the gifts that we get from God, remember what a gift is. A gift is something that's given with no conditions, no strings. What God hopes is what every parent hopes, and that is that the child will respond with love in some shape, form, or fashion. That's God's hope for us. That's every parent's hope for his or her child. As we read today's gospel, one of the things that I want you to know is that at the counseling center where I am, I lead the scripture and prayer service on Wednesday. And what they don't realize, well, I don't, maybe they do realize, I'm kind of the token Episcopalian there. Everybody else is like either Presbyterian or Baptist or something I've never heard of. And what they don't know is that when I pull the scripture that we're going to read, I pull from the next Sunday's lectionary reading. And I've started sort of mentioning that to them, and I get questions like, what's a lectionary? But so when we read this one, the responses that came back as we discussed it were really kind of surprising to me, and I think it may just have to do with my tradition. But a number of folks told me that this particular gospel reading, what we just read, what I just read to you, is a comforting passage, and that they oftentimes will read it. In fact, one of my colleagues said that when her mother died, this was the passage that she read and meditated on. Because it in this passage, we hear about a storm, and we hear about how Jesus calms that storm and the fear within us. And my brothers and sisters, that is a gift. Jesus gives us gifts. God gives us gifts. And just like a father or a mother who loves his or her children, a gift is something that's given freely with no strings attached, but there's always a hope attached to it. And the hope is that we will use that gift wisely and well. So again, my brothers and my sisters, each of us has been given so many gifts. Think. That's a cognitive process. Think about how you can use these gifts. You're not obligated to. They wouldn't be gifts. But think about how you can use these gifts. Amen.
Amen.
Casey and Simon.
So before we begin this portion of our liturgy, Casey and I want to thank you for celebrating Simon with us today. This is not a baptism. This is a Thanksgiving. And it might bore you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. This liturgy finds itself in the 79 Book of Common Prayer for one reason and one reason only, that the people who wrote that Book of Common Prayer really wanted all of us to push baptism to adulthood. They didn't want us to baptize babies anymore. They wanted us to baptize folks who were older and can make a decision. That didn't happen, which is okay because we're stubborn Episcopalians and we got on with the passing of the peace, but we would not get on with the adult baptism thing. That's the choice that we made. But it's this beautiful piece of liturgy that has been adapted from two prayer books ago. So the liturgy that we are about to pray has its roots in a liturgy that's over 200 years old. So I just wanted to say that before we began.
Dear friends,
birth of a child is a joyous and solemn occasion in the life of a family. It is also an occasion for rejoicing in the Christian community. I bid you, therefore, to join Casey and Robert in giving thanks to Almighty God, the Lord of all life, for the gift of Simon, your son, and with Landy, for a new cousin. So let us come together in the song.
You want to try it? Do you want me to take it? His eyes are open, he looks like me when he's on. Simon's making his rounds here. Hi, everybody. Yeah. Simon, that's Bubbles down there. She's important. Hey, hey, God, Mom. Hey, God, Dad. These guys are going to teach you how to sing in church. It's important.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray together, saying, Almighty
God, giver of life and love, bless Casey and Robert. Preserve his life, receive him.
and enable him to receive you, that through the sacrament of baptism he may become the child of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's my part.
Now, while you're standing, if you would take your prayer books, turn to page 830.
Get down to get to it.
For something. So, prayer 51 is on page 830. Let's do that. You just listen. You don't need to do anything for this. So, together, prayer 51. Watch over that joy.
Have a sit down. If you are visiting this morning and new to us, please make yourself known to us. We believe that when you walk into the door, you bring the Holy Spirit with you, and so that makes this time together holy, and we thank you. I want to check with John. Am I in camera and on film, and everybody can hear me, and people at home too? Yep, okay, great. Thank you to John and Maxwell and Jeff at home who are broadcasting this service. There's a camera here and there's a camera up there. Folks at home are continuing to participate. Something that you need to know about worship going forward is right now we are doing this sort of back and forth thing, and I know that's a little jarring, and I apologize, and I'm grateful to you for participating in that. Next Sunday we will be at St. Albans. The following Sunday, which is the 4th of July, I believe, if I got my math right here, that will be back here at St. Thaddeus. That will be the last flip-flop Sunday. After that, we will have worship at 10 o'clock in both places. If I'm at St. Albans, then we're doing morning prayer here at St. Thaddeus. If I'm at St. Thaddeus, we're doing morning prayer at St. Albans. And that will continue through the summer until we work together to figure out how we're going to worship long-term. So we're experimenting with things. We're trying things out. If you want to be involved in leading morning prayer as a layperson, we would love that. I would love to help set that up. So please let me know from either church if you're involved in helping to lead morning prayer. Then please let me know. There will be music at both churches at 10 o'clock and congregational singing. So those aspects will remain in place. It's a big weekend this coming weekend, especially for St. Thaddeus. Let's start on Saturday. On Saturday morning, there will be the market at 9 o'clock over at St. Albans. That's a big deal. Please go and check out crafts and artisan goods and plants and barbecue and all the cool stuff that there is at the market at St. Albans. At 1 o'clock here at St. Thaddeus, we are going to have an important conversation about the food pantry and its makeup and the food distribution ministry. So that's at 1 o'clock here at St. Thaddeus. Also at 12 o'clock at St. Thaddeus on Sunday, a really, really important conversation about who we are as a church and how we are moving forward together. I need to say something about that meeting. That's a parish forum, and I'm sorry that we're I'm sort of talking to both churches here, but St. Thaddeus, this is sort of directed to you, or this is directed to you. From 12 to 1, we're going to have a conversation, and here's what that conversation is. It's a conversation between the vestry and the parish about sort of what we understand and see and what we learned in the pandemic, what our concerns are about where we are with the church, what our hopes and dreams and joys are about where we are as a church, and how we might be going forward. St. Albans is also going to have this conversation later. What this is not is some kind of big announcement or unveiling of something. It's simply a conversation. There's no other agenda than for us to talk to each other and get information with and from each other. The vestry is then going to take the information that we talked about, come together, and say, okay, how are we moving forward together? So it's to help the vestry sort of make decisions. And before the vestry moves on any decisions, we're going to come back to you. And I know there's a lot of conversations, and that's a lot of talking, but we need to hear from you. We need to have you engaged in that. So please, this coming Sunday noon, there will be food. So this is after the worship service at St. Albans. Come back here, St. Thaddeus, in our parish hall, 12 o'clock. We will have a very important conversation. The Tuesday services at 6:30 are still going, and July 4th, we will start back the 7:30 a.m. service, which is a spoken service at St. Albans. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Have such kind.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you. We join our voices with angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor. Holy, 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 my heart, is glad to say the words, you are holy, Lord.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming, Lord. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Alban, Jude, Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Hallelujah, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Hallelujah.
Thank you. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Bill and I will commune the choir first, and then we'll set up in stations. Folks are welcome to come up, make their way across those pews and back to your seat. So we'll be in two stations, so you'll come up to us. Additional announcements. One is that our vestry at St. Thaddeus will meet tomorrow, Monday, at 7 p.m. here at the church to talk about the forum. That is next Saturday. The second announcement is that there are refreshments in the parish hall. Let me look at Sally C. Where's she at? Is this correct, Sally? Am I giving people right information? She's probably already gone to the parish hall to set this thing up. So there are some refreshments in the parish hall, and come and join us for that. Let us pray together. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support those in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this Sunday and remain with you always.
Into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.